we see the Lord's reply in Exodus chapter number 3, verse number 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And in verse number 14, God's reply, And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. The I am here given in the Old Testament, the children of Israel would have recognized as the self-existent one. It is the proclamation of God to his people that he would be what they need, that he would fulfill their needs, that he was, what kind of a God is he? Well, what kind of a God do you need? He is the self-existent God. He is Elohim. He is their God. He is their God, the God Jehovah. He is God to them. And they would recognize that name. And God told Moses, hey, tell him I am sent you. Well, when we get to the New Testament, Jesus is the I am of the New Testament. The I am, the self-existent one. Even though he was born of flesh and he was all man, at the same time he was all God. And he is the I ams of the New Testament. He proclaims that himself several times throughout the New Testament. In Sunday school, I try and give you some things that are practical, that every Christian should know, that should be a part of our lives. That's why we took some time and looked at the Ten Commandments. A very basic thing, but it should be part of every Christian's life. It's something that we should know and have readily at our minds. And that's why periodically we review the Ten Commandments and go over those and try to give you the hand motions that would help keep them in your memory. And we periodically go over the books of the Bible and read off the books of the Bible so that we can know where they are and have that knowledge. There's some things that should be just a part of the vocabulary of Christians and that we know and understand. Another one of those things is the I ams of Christ. Now, there are seven I ams given to us in the book of John. And there's actually an eighth one, which I will let you find on your own, and you tell me why you believe that it is not included in the list of the seven I ams. Now, some people would say there's nine because of the one I am the way, the truth, and the life. They would divide each of those up and say, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and would divide those up. But most people categorize those three as one, and that gives us seven, the seven I ams of Christ. I wonder this morning how many of you could name some of those. Would you be able to give us one or two of the I ams of Christ? Ms. Lois? I am the bread of life. That is the one we're going to deal with this morning. I am the door. I gave you I am the way, the truth, and the life already. I am the good shepherd. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Now that one's not in John.
I'm the tree of life.
I am the tree of life. That one's not there either. In the list, there's other places in the Bible you might find the phrase I am, but I am the light of the world. Yeah. You're like, oh, I knew that one. What happened? I know when you get asked a question, your mind gets put right on the spot, right? And then I am the true vine, and one that may be a little bit less well-known is I am the resurrection. And those are the seven I am. So we have I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine, and I am the resurrection. These are given to us, and they're all given to us in the book of John. And solely in the book of John, God gives these to us through John. And as I mentioned, there's one more in the book of John, and that's your homework for the next few weeks. You can find that one and find out why some people wouldn't include it in the list. And I'm not going to include it in the list either, but there's the seven I ams of Christ. In this first lesson, we want to look at I am the bread of life. So turn your Bibles to the book of John, John chapter number 6. And hopefully you have your thinking caps on today because we're going to be doing a little bit of teaching. We're going to kind of walk through this passage of Scripture, try and get a good understanding, a grasp of the context of it. And then we'll give you a few thoughts in conclusion as we close up today. But in John chapter 6, in verse number 35, let's find the text first, and then we'll back up. But in verse number 35, he says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life." So there'd be a few things if you want to underline in this passage of Scripture with regards to this. You might want to underline that, "I am the bread of life." That is the topic of this entire chapter, chapter number 6. It's all dealing with "I am the bread of life." And look down also in verse number 48. He says in verse number 48, some of you would like this memory verse. Verse number 48 says, "I am the bread of life." So that is the context of the passage, and believe it or not, all, 71 verses of this text are dealing with this thought, with the idea of Jesus being the bread of life. And so let me give you some of the context, and I'll give you some things to mark in your Bible as we're going along maybe, but I want you to have a grasp and understanding of the teaching that Jesus gives here with regards to this. So in verses 1 through verse number 14, we have the feeding of the 5,000. Feeding of the 5,000. Now, Jesus, you know the story of the feeding of the 5,000, that they were all there. They were learning of Jesus. And I just have two loaves this morning. But I didn't bring, there's more loaves back there I could have brought up. I think quite possibly the bread that Jesus broke wasn't quite so delicious as this. but you know the story. A little boy came and he had his five loaves and his two fish, and he began to break this bread, and they fed 5,000. And this is the starting point of this lesson that Jesus gives on him being the bread of life. Because look in verse number 13. We kind of conclude the story up here. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragrance of the five barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. So the 12 baskets were left over. And verse number 14 says, "Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth, that a prophet should come unto the world." And verse number 15, "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again unto a mountain himself alone." So Jesus performed this great miracle, and he fed 5,000 people, and they had 12 baskets left over. And these men saw this great miracle, and they said, "Oh, look at that. Man, look at this guy. I mean, look at this miracle he did. He just fed all of these people. I mean, what an amazing thing to be able to take such a small amount of food. Surely this is the one that was prophesied of. Surely this is going to be the king." And when Jesus recognized that they were going to come and take him by force and say, "Hey, you're going to be our king. I mean, you can feed us when we need food. You're the man." And so Jesus recognized that they were going to do that, and he went off to be alone. You know, it was never God's plan for government to provide for his people. You see, they saw him as a king. Why? Because he could provide for them. They said, "That's the kind of king we want, the one that would feed us when we're hungry." And they were ready for it and looking forward to it. They said, "That's what we would like." And they were going to set him up as king, but that was never God's plan. You know, the government is to bear the sword. The Bible says that they bear the sword not in vain. They are to punish evildoers, and they are to protect from external forces. That is the role and the job of government, but not to provide for its people. And we're getting further and further from that in our world today, and we're getting more and more entitlement programs, and people like it. I mean, who doesn't like it? If I told everybody that, "Hey, if you guys, anybody that comes to Hunt Valley Baptist Church more than 3 weeks in a row, you'll start getting $100 a week stipend to help you financially." I mean, whoa, who wouldn't like that? Hey, our church helps provide for us, amen? And I'll tell you what, our attendance would definitely grow. I guarantee you faithfulness would increase, without doubt, because money talks, right? And people respond to it, and they would be ready. "Oh, look at that church. We want to be part of that church." But it was never God's plan for government to provide for his people, and they wanted to set up him as king, because they saw that he could provide. And God said, no, that's not what we want. So he went to be alone. Then in verses 15 through verse number 24, we have the miracle of Jesus coming and walking on water. He walked on the water to the disciples and went to the other side via his own method there. Didn't have a boat to carry him, but that takes place, and he calms the water and gets them to the other side. Then in verse number, let's pick up maybe in verse number 24. Let's see, 23. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people, therefore, saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took a ship and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. So those people, see, Jesus went off to be alone, and he went off to be alone. The disciples got in a boat and went to the other side. They went through a storm, right? Well, the people were there where they were fed, the 5,000 got fed, and they were kind of looking around for Jesus. Hey, where is this guy? This guy that, and they saw these boats that came in. And, oh, no, the disciples aren't there. And, oh, Jesus isn't there, and they're looking around for him. They're like, well, Jesus is not here, so let's go over to the other side. Let's go to Capernaum and see if he's there, because they're looking for Jesus. And that's what they did. Verse number 25, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, whence camest thou hither? I mean, they saw him walk off into a quiet place to be alone, and now they see him on the other side of the sea, and they're kind of wondering, how'd you get here? We didn't see you get in a boat with the disciples, and you didn't get in a boat with us. They're wondering how Jesus got over to the other side, and there's a dialogue now between Jesus and these that were seeking him, several questions that they pose and answers that Jesus gives in the teaching of the fact that I am the bread of life. He says to them in answer, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. He says, hey, you aren't looking for me because you saw this miraculous thing. You aren't looking for me because you realize who I am. You're looking for me because you got fed. And you're hungry again because you want some more food. And he began this discourse with them. He says, labor not for the meat, verse number 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father. Then said they unto him, so now they're going to ask another question. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might works the works of God? They're saying, hey, how can we do some works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him who hath sent. Now it's notable, I want you to see the different places in this passage of Scripture where Jesus emphasizes and tells them to believe. It's very important because when we get to the end of this, we'll see the difference between what man looks at and what God is telling them. And men like to have something they can grab a hold of. Men like to have something that they can tangibly, you know, have. And Jesus said, hey, here for the first time, he says, you got to believe. You need to believe. They said, what shall we do that we might do the works of God? And God said, believe. And then they said, in verse number 30, then said they unto him, what sign showest us thou then, that we may see and believe thee? So they're asking, they're kind of fishing, right? They're saying, well, what sign could you do that we might be able to believe you? Well, you know, kind of plugging it in there. And, you know, it's like when you're out with somebody and you're like, hey, you got any money? You know, just finding out if they got some money or not, so you know whether you could stop at the store or stop and grab something. They says, hey, what sign can you do that we mayest believe? What doest thou work? Verse number 31, he says, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. So now they're getting spiritual. Now they're looking back, and they're again talking about food and about eating. They says, hey, what sign can you do, Jesus? I mean, just anything that you could do. You know what? Our fathers ate manna. That's what maybe you could do a miracle like that. Maybe we could get manna from heaven. And they're kind of plugging that in, looking again towards the physical. They says, we want to know, we want to see a sign. Could you give us manna? They were talking about this manna, getting spiritual with God. Now, you know the story. After Moses led the Israelites out into the wilderness, they were complaining and grumbling against Moses. And he says, hey, Moses, they're not complaining against you. They're complaining against me. And God, in his infinite mercy, he decided to go ahead and provide for them. And he gave them manna from heaven. He provided for them manna. That's what they're referring to, the manna that's in the book of Exodus. In Psalms, it tells us that that manna was angels' food. It was supposed to be sweet. Now, we've never had the privilege of eating it, but we know that the Israelites got tired of eating it. It doesn't matter how sweet it is, right? If you had to eat these muffins every single day, you get tired of eating muffins. You know, it's just the way we are as humans. And they got tired of eating this manna that was given to them by God himself. This manna extended their life, even though it was just temporarily. It allowed them to live for 40 years in the desert. But, you know, eventually they died. Look in John here down at verse number 49. He says, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness. And what? Are dead. He says, hey, you're right. They did eat manna. They ate manna in the wilderness. But they're dead. They were looking at this physical food. And what Jesus was trying to get them to see is you're looking at this loaf of bread. You're looking at this physical thing which will sustain you for a day or two. But right in front of you is the bread of life. Right in front of you is the bread of life sent to you from the Father above. And they weren't seeing it. They're like, but can you make manna? But can you provide some food? But can you? And he says, hey, listen, your fathers ate manna and they're dead. But you have the opportunity to take part in the bread of life, which will last forever and ever. And they weren't seeing it. They still weren't seeing it. This manna, and let me give you a couple of comparisons to manna, and as it is a type or a picture of the bread of life, Jesus Christ. Manna came during the night. Christ comes to all men who are in darkness. He comes to bring them light. Manna came in the night, and Jesus came to all men who are in darkness. Manna fell upon the dew of the morning. Christ came born of the Spirit of God. Manna was not defiled by this earth, and Christ was sinless, lived on this earth, but was not defiled by the earth. Manna was small, it was round, and it was white. It was small, signifying humility. It was round, signifying continuous eternity. And it was white, signifying purity, as a picture of Christ, who came in humility, who will live forever, and who lived purely for God. Manna is sweet to the taste. The psalmist says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. And any who taste of Jesus know that to be true. Manna had to be taken and eaten. You could walk by it on the ground, disregard it, and it wouldn't do you any good. But each person had to take of it themselves. And the same is true of Jesus Christ. Manna came as a free gift offered by God the Father. Jesus Christ is a free gift offered by God the Father that all are available to. It's available to all. Just like manna was available to all, it was sufficient for all of the Israelites. But if they chose not to go out and to gather and take it, they would not be sustained by it. And just so Jesus Christ is offered to all. He is sufficient for all. And any who would want him can go and take and partake of him, but they have to do it in and of their own free will. And lastly, manna was a food that sustained them in the wilderness as they wandered. You and I are in a wilderness. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. And Jesus sustains us through this time. They were talking about manna, and God was talking about, Jesus was talking about the bread of life. So then they ask another question. He tells them that he came down from heaven, this bread of life. That's where his answer is. They asked the question a little bit earlier. Look at 41, back to 41. I want you to see verse number 40 as we're reading along here. Let's start back up to 39, all right? just read the whole thing. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, and notice that word again, believeth on him, may have everlasting life. So it's important now we're talking about believing again. And what is it you have to do to have everlasting life according to this text? Believe, okay? Now, put that in your mind as we're going to get a little further down here. But he says, and I will raise him up in the last days. Then the Jews murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which cometh down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, he cometh down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. As it is written, the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. He says, hey, don't murmur among yourselves. I was sent of the Father, and I came down from heaven. They are looking at the physical, and he is talking about the spiritual. They go on one step further in verse number 48. He says, well, let's read verse number 47. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, believeth on me hath everlasting life. He's given it to him very clearly three times right now, and they're still not seeing. He says, I am the bread of life. Then he says, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. He says, I am the living bread which cometh down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. The Jews, therefore, strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. He's talking here about eating flesh. He is giving them a picture, an example. I think about, Nicodemus and, hey, can I enter again a second time into my mother's womb and be born? And he says, no, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is the Spirit. We're talking about two different things, and you guys aren't getting it. It's not sinking in. And he's giving them a picture, an example of how food, eaten, sustains us physically. But spiritually, when we take of Jesus Christ, we are sustained eternally, spiritually. And they weren't seeing it. And then again, they went straight to the physical and just what they could hold on to and tangibly say, how can we eat of his flesh? And there are some who teach about the Lord's Supper that you are physically taking of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. That once this bread or you know, meal is blessed and the juice or wine is blessed, that that becomes the actual flesh and blood of Jesus Christ, and you partake of that. And they do that, why? Because here it says if you partake of the flesh and the blood of Jesus Christ, you'll have eternal life. But this is the physical side that Jesus was giving them an example. What did Jesus say over and over again you had to do to have eternal life?
Believe.
Very clearly, he had given that to them three times through this text. Believe, and you have eternal life. And here he says, if you eat and drink of my blood, you're going to have eternal life, giving them a physical picture, but he's already given them spiritual truth. So that is where they were missing the boat. Jesus gave them their answer. He had given them the fact that they need to believe. You partake of this spiritual food by believing on Jesus. In the conclusion of this chapter, verse number 60 through verse number 71, we see them talk of this hard saying. The hard saying is the fact that they could eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. Verse number 60, he says, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, and he said unto them, doth this offend you? Now the disciples he's talking there is not the 12. He's talking about all those that had gathered around, that wanted to be discipled by him, that wanted to be taught to him, and that wanted to hear what he had to say, those that sought to be with him, those that could be called disciples that he was teaching. But they said, hey, this is a hard saying. And Jesus said, hey, is this hard? They murmured among themselves. He said, doth this offend you? Verse number 62. What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh, profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. Again, going back to believe. Hey, there's some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew in the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except he were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Even those that were following Jesus himself went back and walked no more with him. There was people that stood there at the feet of Jesus and Jesus taught them. They saw the miracles that Jesus performed. But when Jesus gave them spiritual truth, they said, whoa, this is hard. And they did not believe. And when they didn't believe, they went back. You're going to see a lot of people go back. Sometimes in our Christian life, that's one of the very discouraging things. You see people that are here and they're in church and they seem like they're doing really well and then they go back. They go back to the world. They go back to what they were doing. They go back to all, and you think, how can you do that? If you don't believe, you're going to go back. And Jesus, looking at his disciples, now he's looking at the 12 in this passage of scriptures. He looks at the 12 and he asks them, he says, will you also go away? He said, all these, they didn't believe. And they walked away. They said, and Jesus said, will you also go away? Or are you going to stay? Do you believe what I'm teaching you? This was hard. But Jesus gave them the truth about the bread of life. Now that gives us the context, this whole passage of Scripture, the entire 71 verses dealing with the idea of Jesus is the bread of life. So let me give you four things quickly about Jesus being the bread of life that are clearly taught in this passage of Scripture. First of all, look at verse number 26 and verse number 27. Verse 26 and 27, he says, Jesus answered, and he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but ye did eat of the loaves which were and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. The bread of life, Jesus, is the enduring bread. Jesus is the enduring bread. And if you want to underline these four principles that we'll see in the scriptures here about the bread of life is Jesus is the enduring bread, the bread that lasts. He is the bread that endureth. You know, we are looking, many of them here, we're looking at the physical. I could eat these muffins right now, and you know, about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock this afternoon, I'm going to be hungry. But Jesus, the bread of life, is enduring. It lasts for eternity. It continues on. I think back of the woman at the well, just back a couple of chapters in your Bible to John chapter 4, where Jesus says, hey, could you draw me some water? And she says, you know, I can draw you some water. And he says, if you knew who was asking you to draw water, you would ask water of me. And she says, how are you going to draw water? You don't have anything to draw water. Are you greater than Jacob? And he says, no, the water that I give you is living water. And he says, if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. Talking about spiritual water, not physical water. And that's what we're dealing with here, spiritual bread, not physical bread. Jesus was giving them the illustration, the picture of something physical, but talking to them about the spiritual, this enduring bread spiritually, Jesus, the bread of life that endureth. Then Jesus is the true bread. Look at verse number 32. Verse number 32 we see, then Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. Okay, what he's saying here, they said before this, they said, you know, Moses gave us manna. And he says, Moses didn't give you that manna. God gave it to you. He says, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you, and he says, the true bread from heaven. The true bread. Jesus is the true bread. You know, there's a lot of false bread out there. There's a lot of false bread. I was just yesterday looking at, there's a lot of false bread being taught and trained, and people feel like they can get a measure of bread by going to church, by being religious. And you know, these good things, they do satisfy for a little while. Doing something good makes you feel good, and it brings a measure of satisfaction. And hey, I went to church today, or I went and I helped somebody today, and I was good to my neighbor, and using these biblical principles and these ideas about doing good, and it's a false bread. It only satisfies for a little while. It's not going to sustain you forever. It's not the true bread. Only Jesus Christ is the true bread. Then, I want you to see verse number 35. In verse number 35, he says, and Jesus saith unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He is the satisfying bread. He's the satisfying bread, the bread that satisfies, never hunger, never thirst. Spiritually, your spiritual need will be met forever. This satisfying bread, he shall never hunger, he shall never thirst. Spiritual satisfaction of the soul is only attained through Jesus Christ. Many work at it. Many try and satisfy this hunger in their soul with different things, sometimes physical things, sometimes pleasures of this world. The soul desires something. There is something that's missing in the soul of man. And that missing piece is a relationship with God. And that's only satisfied by having our relationship restored through Jesus Christ. Then I want you to see the last one in verse number 51. Verse number 51, he says, Jesus, he says, I am the living bread which cometh down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. What Jesus is talking about is his sacrifice. He gave his flesh, his blood, for the life of the world. He sacrificed it freely on the cross for all mankind and shed his blood for man, gave his own sins of this world. In 1 Peter 2, verse number 24, he says, who his own self bare our sins on his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. This living bread, Jesus, the bread of life. He says, I am the bread of life. I hope this study through the book, through the chapter 6 of John, has helped give you a good picture of what Jesus was saying when he said, I am the bread of life. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this morning, the Sunday school hour, the time to study this thought. I pray, God, that we would all value what we have been given through Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray if there's one here that has not partaken of the bread of life, not by the Lord's Supper or by being in church, but by believing on the name of the Son of God, I pray that they would do that today. Lord, we ask you to be with us in our morning service, and we praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.